If you're talking about it,
are you for the criminals or are you for the law-abiding Americans? That's a simple question.
We're talking about it.
If they'll just do what they were voted in to do.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho, 670 KBOI.
Paul J., Summer of Love vacation continues. David Allen here, Chris Walton in the Sandler Training Studio. Ada County Commissioner Dave Case, how are you this morning?
Good. How's things this morning going for you?
It's going great so far.
I always kind of wonder about the county commission because it seems like you guys don't really understand what it means to be politicians. Okay, and the reason I say that is you proposed the fiscal year 2016-2017 budget this past Tuesday night, and apparently it's about $3 million lower than last year?
Yeah, big surprise there,
okay,
huh?
Okay, see, that's not what politicians do.
No, except for the Ada County Commission.
All right.
Yeah. Well, we had open testimony from the public to come in, and we presented our budget at that time. You know, there were about five or six folks that showed up and provided some testimony, so it was good. And you know, this budget we've got going right now is, we kind of refer to it as a catch-up budget. We're getting to a point where we're comfortable with where the savings accounts type areas are at. So we're not working off that savings account now. And in doing so, we're having to catch up with areas that have been kind of neglected over the, you know, 5 or 6 years, maintenance and personnel issues and things like that.
I guess there's a stretch of greenbelt, among other things.
There are, yeah. And that's good because that stretch out there, that's off of Warm Springs, you know, right between Warm Springs and East Park Center Bridge. It's about, little under one and a quarter miles of it that is just really torn up that needs to get taken care of. So that's one of the big issues that we funded, so we'll get that taken care of.
I'm one of those simple guys who likes jail security to be upgraded at all times, everybody to be safe, so that's also a big highlight of the budget.
Yeah, we've got a couple things going on there. Our jail security system has gotten to the point that it's probably not the best choice of words, but end of life, and it's actually starting to malfunction. Doors are popping open and things like that, so we invested quite a bit of money, about $2 million, into finishing up that project so that we've got our cameras upgraded and the locks all changed. And the
video system is a lot – it's going to be really updated too, isn't it?
Yes, it is. The cameras are all antiquated. The software needs changed. We've got to do a whole revamp on that.
Hmm. So, if anybody's ever gone to get a driver's license, sometimes the wait –
oh, yeah.
Is longer than the license is for, it seems like.
Yeah.
You guys have done some changes there, too.
We have. You know, it's bad when your wife comes home and tells you she had to wait 2 hours to get her driver's license.
It's not good for you, Dave.
No, it's not
good for you.
So I sent her over to talk to the sheriff.
Good idea.
But, no, it's a system where, you know, just our population growth has created that problem. And, you know, we have to keep catch up with it. So a couple $100,000 there to do a remodel and put in some new personnel and stuff.
And there's going to be an update of how public access or how the public accesses court records, right?
Yeah, we've got this project coming forward. It's actually going to come to fruition. We've been working on it for about a year and a half now, and it's the Odyssey system that the Supreme Court has put into place, and it's pretty much mandated. We're going from a paper system to a paperless system, so all electronic. It'll be really nice. That's going to kick off the first week in August. When it does kick off, there's going to be some limitations initially for the online folks on when they're trying to pay things. So,
now some other counties I know around this area, especially Twin Falls County, recently went through that.
Yeah, Twin Falls County got to be the guinea pig. They kicked it off. They had some issues that they worked through. The problem there is Ada County is so different. I mean, Twin Falls County is a fairly large county, but not near the size of Ada County. So a lot of different issues we're going to be dealing with.
What's the timeline now for getting the budget locked and loaded and in front of everybody?
Well, we've got a couple things coming up. First off, we will go in on July 26th, and that's when we actually adopt and take a vote, adopt the tentative budget. Then we have to publish it in the paper. And then once that's done, we'll go in, I think we're going to publish in the Statesman on August 2nd, and then we'll formally adopt it on August 9th.
And if you're I'm sorry, Chris, if you're a budget, if you're a budget nerd and want to read the whole thing, you can just go to adacounty.id.gov and see the whole thing right there.
Yep. It's in there. I think it's either under the commissioner's page or under the clerk's page. Either one of those, it should get you to it.
Very good. Ada County Commissioner Dave Case with us in the Sand Returning Studio.
This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 3, listen to Nate on 670 KBOI.
Welcome back to the show. David Allen, Chris Walton, Commissioner Dave Case with us in the Sandler Training Studio. Let's move from budgets, which sometimes people can see as dry, to fun stuff like the Western Idaho Fair that's coming up.
You bet. Love to talk about the fair. Coming up August 19th through the 28th, our gates open daily at noon, and we close at 11 p.m., but got a lot of good things going on there this year.
Got some live acts, as usual, concerts.
Yeah, our concerts this year, we've got Josh Turner, Foreigner, Sawyer Brown, and Pat Benatar.
A couple classic rock and a couple of country acts.
Yeah.
Am I mixing up all my fairs? Wasn't it last year Pat was supposed to be here? And then she had to cancel.
It was last year or the year before.
The year before. She had to cancel because her husband got sick.
Yeah.
So she's able to come back. So that's good if Benatar fans are around.
Yeah, there were a lot of folks really disappointed that she wasn't able to make it.
It was a last-minute thing, too, if I remember correctly.
Neil Giraldo.
Yeah. And so Queensryche stepped in and did the show, so... If you're a Benatar fan, she's coming back. That'll be good.
Yeah.
Admission's very inexpensive. It really is for everything that you can do out there.
Yep.
It's just like you're giving away tickets to people. $7 for adults, $4 for youth, and seniors only $5.
Yeah, that's to get into the front gate to the fair, and all the concerts there are free.
Yeah.
So
now, there's a place called ShareMyFair.com,
mm-hmm.
and share is spelled a little differently.
Mm-hmm.
It's S-H-A-I-R, just like fair, F-A-I-R.
Uh-huh.
But Share My Fair. What can you do on that website?
Well, you can go there if you want to purchase your tickets ahead of time. They're offering not only at ShareMyFair.com, but also I believe we can pick them up at Albertsons, that you can go in and get just advanced tickets into the fair. You can get them at a discounted price there. I think it's for a short time that happens, and I would imagine probably up till the date of the
And this is kind of interesting, too, for people who are really into rides. There's video of rides.
There are.
That you can see at ShareMyFair.com.
Yeah.
And there's a new one, I guess, called the Inversion, which is a great ride for this area. I mean, we already know what the Inversion is like anyway. But it says it inverts passengers around and upside down. Yeah, sounds like a carnival ride.
Yeah, just don't eat a lot of corn dogs before you get on it.
I would throw up on that ride,
Dave. Or anything else,
I'm not going to lie to you. I would throw up on that ride. Chris hinted at it earlier. The court system conversion is ongoing, too, for you guys.
Yeah, you know, as I mentioned earlier, this is a system where we're designed to take everything from a paper file to an electronic file. It's, you know, the theme there is it's going to make it a lot more efficient and easier for folks to use. People will be able to have, once we get it up and online and going, they'll have 24 access to be able to get a hold of court records. You know, and again, I just want to caution folks, we plan on bringing it online between August 3rd and the 8th. And when we do, there's a possibility, there will be a time when some of the online issues won't be able to be used until we get it fully functioning. So,
but you ask the public to avoid the courthouse at that time if they don't have urgent business. Has anybody ever gone to the courthouse who didn't think their business was urgent?
None that I've met so far.
Okay.
And I will tell you, I got a speeding ticket last Friday, so I'll make sure I pay it before the 3rd through the 8th. So I'll help you out and do what I can do.
It?
It was not. No, it was not. It was
a city police officer.
But it does say if you have a court date, still go to your court date.
Yes.
Because that's not an excuse to miss one.
Yeah.
I think they're just concerned about trying to do stuff online. And I think while they're firing that up, the old system, it's going to be kind of working on a dual system at the time. So they'll trust me, your documents will be safe.
Okay. Very good. Very good.
So we'll see some other stuff going on. Drones are being used to survey the Ada County landfill, and you said that's saving us some money.
It is. It's, you know, it's just amazing the quality of the information and data that we're getting out of the drones. Typically, in the past, we've had to pay $20,000 to do a manned flight over the landfill to obtain the data, and that data is like how fast the landfill is filling up. So they send this drone over. They can fly the landfill in about 5 minutes, and they come up with this information, and they can literally track on a weekly basis the volume as it increases in the landfill. That gives us the information that we have to make good decisions on, you know, how long is the landfill going to last, and what we can do. So a lot of good things happening out there.
Considerably cheaper than how much it would cost for a manned flight, which is, what, about $20,000, you said?
Yeah, it's $20,000 for one flight. Typically in the past, they've only done that one time a year, but now because of the reduction in the expense, we can go out there and do it monthly. I'm
maybe going to ask a question that's outside of your pay grade. How long does a landfill last?
Well, this one is predicted to last 100 years.
Oh, okay.
That we've got up there. I mean, it's a variety of different cells, and the cell is basically an area where you fill up and then you move, you know, get it covered and then move on. So.
Just one more headline from the past week. Median home prices have hit an all-time high in Ada County.
Yeah.
I guess great if you're selling, but you're a little cautious.
Well, I am. I mean, I think it's great that the people's equity in their homes are coming back up, and especially for those folks who are wanting to sell or maybe refinance. But I get a little bit concerned, you know, if we compare this back to 2008, I wouldn't want to see another bubble burst. So, you know, we've been watching that pretty closely, and our assessor, he's been keeping us, Bob McQuaid, he's been keeping us updated, you know, real well. He's got a good crew over there.
Commissioner Case, thanks for coming in this morning, letting us know what's going on in Ada County. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Appreciate being here.
Stay cool today.
All right.
I see you got your tie loosened up. That's a smart man right there. All right, 8:55 right now. We are going to talk to Russ Fulcher after the news at the top of the hour. We've got news, obviously, everything from last night from the RNC. Then we've got the local angle. We'll get you updated on the mile marker 14 fire and everything that's going on there with Rick Worthington.
Yeah, I'm going to ask Russ in particular, was he one of the ones booing last night during the Ted Cruz speech? Because, you know, he might have been. You never know.
There's always that possibility. Or if he was one of the ones hurling horrible things at his wife, which probably wasn't him.
No, I don't think
and
that's...
And what he expects tonight when Donald Trump takes the stage, and if it will be quite the... rock and roll extravaganza as it was Monday night when he introduced his wife.
And what are you looking forward to more, Donald or Ivanka? Well, she'll be speaking too.
Yeah, that's going to be a tough pick for me, but I'm going to go with Ivanka.
Okay.
All right, it's 8:56 right now at 670 KBOI. Chris and I will be back after the news.
If you're talking about it...
Are you for the criminals or are you for the law-abiding Americans? It's a simple question.
We're talking about it.
If they'll just do what they were voted in to do...
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho. 670 KBOI.
Welcome back to the show. Paul J. still on vacation. Todd pushing the buttons. Chris here with me.
Hello.
We are joined from Cleveland... by the one and only Russ Fulcher. Russ, good morning. How are you, sir?
Good morning, David. Doing wonderful today. Thank you.
That was quite an event last night.
Now, what event would you be talking about? I have no idea.
Well, that would be a little bit of Ted Cruz visiting and saying what he believed in without ever once endorsing Donald Trump and all the boos that rained down on him.
Oh, that event.
That little thing that... I don't know if you were in for that or not, so...
That little old thing. Yeah. Yeah, clearly it was not a boring evening, and that was one of a number of highlights throughout the night. You know, at one of the things we were talking about just as an Idaho delegation was, hey, at least he was there. You know, I mean, there were some high-profile Republicans that didn't show up at all, and so at least he was there.
And you mentioned yesterday that you got to have kind of an audience with Ted Cruz for a little bit. Did he happen to mention that he wasn't going to endorse Trump?
No, didn't at all. But you could tell, Chris, that with the just the personal nature of the campaign, that they were really struggling with how to deal with that. You know, and just, you know, the conversation about, look, you know, somebody's trying to take your spouse down.
Some people aren't going to compartmentalize and say, well, that was the campaign. This is different.
Right. You know, that's part of the blowback from a negative campaign, is it just makes it so much harder to kind of bridge the gap.
Mike Pence, I thought, did a pretty good job of bringing everything back to focus on Donald Trump and the fact that Hillary is the enemy here, not Ted Cruz or anybody else who was running. I thought Pence did a really good job of turning things around.
You know, he did, David. I thought so, too. It's been unique in talking to other delegates about Pence. I mean, I have heard no negative comments from him. I mean, go to any state, the delegates from New York, the delegates from Florida, the delegates from Ohio, all of them have positive things to say about Pence. So it was a very strategic move. And, you know, here might be one of those areas where Trump is showing some quality. What does a good CEO do? A good CEO surrounds himself with talent. A good CEO surrounds himself with people that have skill sets that they don't. Pence appears to be that guy, that balance for Trump, and he showed that last night. He was very measured, very calm, and received really well.
Besides being, I mean, measured and calm, I mean, despite that, I guess he seemed like one of the more upbeat speakers.
He was, and you know, you need that from leadership. You want to leave your audience with hope. You want to leave your constituents with something that's positive here. There's so much negative. I mean, my goodness, you flip on any news broadcast, and you're constantly bombarded with the violence and everything going around. And so, again, that's another positive quality about him that is refreshing, that, hey, look, there is a way to look through the lens at this world with some positive vision, and he did a good job with that.
Speaking of the media, I thought Laura Ingraham got one of the louder ovations when she was saying, hey, media, do your job.
Yeah, that was an interesting one, David. The Idaho delegation sits about, maybe 15, 20 feet from the CNN news desk. And so if you flip on CNN and you look right in the backdrop, you'll see Colorado and Idaho. And so when she made that statement, a lot of the floor delegates turned around and started pointing at him and chanting against him. It actually paused CNN. The CNN broadcasters turned around to see, okay, what are they yelling at us for?
Russ, what are you looking forward to most tonight? And I know Donald Trump will be accepting the nomination tonight and speaking. What are you going to be looking for from that speech?
Want to hear something that's more than just we're going to make things better. I'd like to see some meat in the conversation. Like to hear some, you know, not deep policy wonk stuff, but some specifics about here's what we're going to do. Here's the direction we're going to go. Here's why we're going to go there. Here's why it's going to succeed. So far, and I guess you would kind of expect this, but in a national convention like this, there's been so many platitudes. You know, Hillary's bad. We're good. We're going to fix everything.
Lock her up. That's been a big one.
Right. You know, but tell me how. And give me just a little bit of assurance that this is the right thing to do, and we got the policy and the direction and the fortitude to actually make it happen. And he's got to have a long time tonight, and I hope that part of that direction is weaved into his comments.
You've been there 4 days, Russ. What's your takeaway from the whole experience in Cleveland at the RNC?
Well, this is the first time I've done one of these, David, and it's been a really good experience. But it is very scripted. I mean, there's not a lot of decisions, so to speak, for the delegates to make. Now, granted, there were committees that came in last week that did the footwork with platform and with rules. I was not part of that. You know, I've been there for the most part to interact with the other delegates and of course, cast our votes on the state of Idaho. But very scripted. It is definitely a show, and it's definitely designed for hype. All of the speakers have been selected to go in a certain order, and you can tell that their subject matter has been discussed and planned ahead of time. And you know, that's all good. But it's there's not a lot of impromptu, let's put it that way.
Except for Ted Cruz forgetting to read his last line, right?
Well, yeah, you know, little things like that. You know, interesting point, though, and I don't know if this was scripted or not, but it may have been. Just as the Cruz speech was concluding, Donald Trump entered through the security door, which, by the way, is right behind the Idaho delegation, and he was coming in, and kind of, as only Donald Trump can do, sucking the air out of the room just as the Cruz talk was finishing. Now, again, whether that was scripted or not, I don't know, but I can tell you that I believe that that also added to the fervor at the particular time. Mm.
Fantastic, Chris. We appreciate all the insight this week, man. It's been great having you there.
Well, thank you for letting me share it with you, and look forward to getting back to Boise.
We'll see you back in the studio soon. Thanks.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
You.
That's Russ Fulcher commenting on the RNC for us here in Cleveland. It seems like it's been fun for him. Mm-hmm. And like I say, it's the first one he's ever done, so I'm sure it's been an event.
It's going to be different about a week from now when the Democrat convention is wrapping up. It'll be interesting to see which one people consider to be more of a success.
Exactly. All right, 9:15, we've got a little insight from USA Today and a poll that was taken recently. We'll hit that next on 670 KBOI.
You are listening to Paul, Jay, and Chris on 670 KBOI.
9:20 on 670 KBOI. David Allen, Chris Walton here with you. KBOI rewards code, ENDORSE. ENDORSE, ENDORSE. Go to KBOI.com, enter the keyword ENDORSE, and you will get your 5,000 rewards points, and Ted Cruz will send you a postcard.
Before we move on, I wanted to mention this. The disgruntled vet wrote in an instant message to ask something that was in the news. You and I haven't talked about it, but this thing in Pocatello where the police announced a few things they're not going to do anymore.
Yes.
In other words, if you don't have an actual problem or emergency, please don't call the police, they said. But he asked, number one, why would anyone call the cops for a kid not cleaning their room? And number two, why would the Pocatello Police Department answer such stupid calls? Well, okay, if you're trying to win over the public, or at least trying to, you know, have good public relations, you would answer even the stupid calls. But the reason that, I mean, especially in small towns, I mean, people in the old days used to call the sheriff and have him come out and tell their kids, you know, if you keep, the way you're going, you're going to end up in jail.
Yep.
And stuff like that. I mean, they did an awful lot of different things just to help out parents and things. But as I said, it's kind of an old thing and kind of a small town thing. But people were still, I guess, calling the police in Pocatello and saying, can you come over and put the fear of God into my child? And they'd say, yeah, okay. But they're not going to do that anymore.
And they shouldn't do that anymore. And
probably not.
I would.
Probably. Yeah. I mean, if you're a parent having a problem, you know, better to learn how to overcome it, I guess.
Yeah. All right. USA Today has a story that we'll start talking about here, and we'll take calls after the bottom of the hour. 336-3700, 1-800-529-5264, or #670 on your Verizon Wireless. It's a study out of USA Today today saying cop bias is real, and so is pessimism about race relations.
Right.
If you're black or Hispanic in America, your chances of police using non-lethal force against you are significantly higher than that of whites.
Okay.
And not surprisingly.
And that isn't non-lethal as opposed to lethal.
Yes.
That's non-lethal as opposed to no force whatsoever.
No force at all. And not surprisingly, more than half, 61% of black Americans, feel pessimistic about race relations, according to studies published by the National Bureau of Economic Research and the Pew Research Center, respectively.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to police and the justice system, how are blacks treated compared with whites? Percent who say blacks treated less fairly?
84% of black people say that blacks are not treated as fairly by police as white people are, but only about half of white people believe that.
Yep. In the courts, 75% of blacks say they're treated less fairly. 43% of whites say that blacks are treated less fairly.
Yeah.
And when voting, 43%. I'm trying to see why they would be treated differently.
Right.
43% of blacks feel that they're treated differently than whites when voting, and 20% of whites feel that blacks are treated differently.
Now, among the things that is Pew Research, and among the things they found was they asked about Black Lives Matter, and they said that 40% of white Americans support Black Lives Matter, and about 60% either don't support it or, you know, have no opinion. But they said if you're a white Democrat, if you identify as a Democrat, that actually 64% of them support Black Lives Matter. So it's apparently a lot smaller percentage among Republicans.
And this is something that you and I have talked about a couple times, both last week and this week, about racial equality, which equality is a hard word to use because no one's equal. Bill Gates makes more money than me. Does that mean it's not equal? No, it means Bill Gates more successful than me because he
invented something.
He invented something, and I'm just sitting here talking to you.
And we didn't invent something.
So equality is a hard word to use, but I guess, and I talked about the fact that I thought race relations were worse now than they have been since the late 60s, early 70s, when things were really bad in the country. Mm-hmm. So country has made changes needed for racial equality. Blacks say yes. 8%. 8% of blacks say that. 38% of whites. So really not a whole lot of whites say that either.
Well, and essentially that question means, have things gotten better in the past 50 years?
Yes.
And the answer for a lot of people is just simply no.
And then the hardest question they might have asked, country will eventually make needed changes. 42% of blacks say yes, the country will soon make the changes, and 40% of whites did. But then when you get to the country will not make the needed changes, 43% of blacks.
Well, and that's, I mean, if you look at the last 50 years and you don't think much has changed, then there's probably no reason to assume it will over the next 50 years.
Is that sad or just a system of human beings being human beings sometimes?
I don't know. I don't know for sure, but this didn't ask, you know, it didn't look at facts and different things like that. All it looked at was what are people's opinions about this? Do you think things are going to get better? Do you think things already are better?
So now we're curious as to what you think. 336-3700, 1-800-529-5264, or #670 on Verizon Wireless. Do you think that racial equality, and again, I know the weird thing about using that word, mm-hmm. do you think the country will make or will not make the needed changes to make race relations at least more palatable?
Or do you think they already did?
Or do you think they've already have and nothing else needs to be done and people just need to move on? It's 9:26. News with Rick is next on 670 KBOI.
Live from the Sandler Training Studio, this is News Talk 670 KBOI. This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 10, listen to Rush on 670 KBOI.
All right, nothing says summer like a baseball. 670 KBOI and Zero Res want to send you to Hawks. Have been very, very good to you?
Yeah, baseball have been very, very good to me.
Want to send you to Hawks Stadium to see them play the whole entire month. Be caller number 5 right now at 336-3710, 336-3710, and you'll win a 4-pack of tickets to the Hawks game tomorrow night against Spokane. Tickets courtesy of the good folks at Zero Res. 336-3710, caller 5 right now. Get in.
All right. Caller 4 wins a 5-pack. No.
Caller 4 wins nothing and you'll
right.
like it.
Caller 5 wins a 4-pack. Bill of Boise wrote us to say, if you don't think there have been any racial changes, then explain why no one has tried to shoot Obama. Well, first of all, that's a little extreme anyway.
Yeah, that's...
This would never have been accepted just a short time in history ago. Well, yeah, about 48 years ago, the most prominent black man in the country at that time was shot and killed.
Mm-hmm.
But... It doesn't always have to do with race. I mean, you know, somebody tried to kill Reagan because he was deranged.
Yeah.
And
somebody did kill Kennedy.
A couple of women, both of whom were kind of deranged, both shot at
Gerald Ford.
One of them shot and the other one didn't have any bullets in the gun, but pointed it right at him. That was Squeaky Fromm from the Manson family.
Yep.
And as a lot of people said, why was she walking around again?
Yeah, exactly. Why is someone from the Manson clan just hanging out?
Because she wasn't one of the ones that went to the, you know, Tates or LoBiancas.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to Scott in Boise. Scott, you're on 670 KBOI. How are you? Scott.
Yes, I'm.
Yes. Go ahead. You're on.
So you guys were just recently talking about people calling the cops on their kids because they won't clean their rooms.
Uh-huh.
And I have a little bit of a different perspective than a lot of people have, because I have a 17-year-old, 200-pound, very healthy young man who is completely, or at least was, completely incorrigible. We have been dealing with him running away, being completely disobedient, completely disrespectful for a number of years. And we started talking to the school resource officer when he started cutting class. In fact, he cut school so many times it was at the point where they disenrolled him from 5 out of 8 classes that he was in.
Wow.
And when we were talking to the resource officer, we told him about all the problems we'd had. And he said, well, how come you haven't called us before? I said, well, because he's not being violent and he's not, you know, causing general mayhem. So we didn't think this was a police matter. he said, well, if you want him to be declared incorrigible and you want help from the court system in dealing with a disobedient child, you have to have reports on file with the police.
Really?
Yes. In fact, he said that it takes three. There have to be three reports on file with the police before they'll turn it over to the district attorney. And the state of Idaho, as a parent, you are completely liable for the actions of your child.
Yeah.
If your child is incorrigible and will not listen to you no matter what you say, that puts you in a bind as a parent.
Yeah, I understand that.
My son was, without a driver's license, borrowing cars from friends and driving around town.
Okay.
I called the police on him myself, trying to get them to stop him. And they said, you have to call us when he is being disobedient so that we can get reports on file.
Okay, and did they specify, does it have to be like a... Does he have to be a danger to himself and others, or just flat-out disobedient?
Just flat-out disobedient was actually what they said.
So that thing in Pocatello where the guy said, somebody called and said their kid hasn't been cleaning his room, so can you come put the fear of God into him? That's not that unusual, then.
Not only is it not that unusual, it's something that you would have. Now, just because a normally average kid isn't cleaning their room, I definitely wouldn't go that far. In fact, it took me about 4 years of dealing with a kid running away on a fairly regular basis before we got law enforcement involved. And when I finally had a conversation with an officer about it, he says, in fact, it was a Boise officer. He said, well, you need to call us. You need to involve us.
Wow.
So that we can help get the progress that needs to happen.
Interestingly, I mean, that's almost exactly the opposite of what the Pocatello officer said, but, I don't know. I suppose he was. Yeah. Well, good point. But I suppose he was probably mostly talking about, you know, if you want to
kid won't mow the lawn.
Yeah, like the kid won't mow the lawn, so come on and we'll play a prank on him involving the police. You know, I don't think they want to do stuff like that.
Obviously, in your case, Scott, you should have.
And I have four other children that are very well behaved that I would never even imagine.
See?
But it got to a point where we were concerned for our liability for things our son might do.
Yep.
And you have to cover all your bases. I'm happy to say that my son has actually found a program that's a boarding school run through the National Guard that is hopefully helping him turn around.
Well, that's good.
You have to do what you have to do, and law enforcement has to be a part of that if you want it to go through the court system, if you want legal help in dealing with a child that is completely disobedient.
All right, Scott. Thanks for the call. We appreciate it.
Interesting.
Have a good one.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Monty Bell was our Boise Hawks ticket winner, so that's good. He's going to go to tomorrow night's game. We obviously have more tickets to give away because July is still going. That obviously was an extreme case in him having to call the cops. I think, like you and I were saying, it's just the everyday. He won't clean his room.
Now, when he mentioned the resource officer, I thought, well, of course, the resource officer, his job is to deal with, you know, teenage kids.
Mm-hmm.
If it's the high school resource officer. We just used to refer to him as the campus cop, but even to tell him that if you're having problems with an incorrigible child, that you should call the police just so you can get some reports on file and then eventually be helped by the courts. I mean, I really hadn't even considered that.
I wonder if they using the word incorrigible to try to lighten things up. Because if you've got a kid who's running away all the time and he's a 6 foot, 200 pounds.
He said his son is large and he said his son didn't have a driver's license but was borrowing cars and you know, driving around and stuff like that. So actually,
it's not really incorrigible.
So, you know, breaking at least a misdemeanor laws.
Floyd in Boise, you're on 670 KBOI with David and Chris. How are you?
Good, good. Thanks, guys.
Mm-hmm.
When you were talking earlier about the statistics that they're, you know, about how the race relations are going.
Yeah.
I was watching the Tom Hartman show, and they had a interesting set of statistics. If you take 50 white men and 50 black men, if you're white, your chances of going to prison in your lifetime are 1 in 17. If you're black, your chances of going to prison in your lifetime are 1 in 3.
Wow. Quite
and
different, isn't it?
The incarceration rate for drug crimes, and only 14% of black people use drugs. You know, actually, us white people, we use more than they do, but they end up incarcerated. In the federal prisons, their incarceration rate is 10 times higher than white people. And this was kind of in 1968, when Nixon started the war on drugs, more people died from choking on their food and falling down the stairs that died from illegal drug use.
Really?
Yes. Nixon wanted to, John Ehrlichman did an interview in 1999, and, you know, Nixon had his enemies list, and his enemies were the blacks and hippies, and so they used drugs as a campaign issue, and then that became where the DEA started from.
Yes, because the drug culture was a bunch of people who I guess could be classified as very liberal.
Yes.
And so, yeah, Nixon would naturally be an enemy of that.
Yep, yep. So just I thought I'd throw that out there just so you kind of get an idea of, like, the chances of going to prison thing just kind of really opened my eyes.
All right, Floyd, thanks for checking in. We appreciate it.
All right, guys. Take care. Bye.
Because 1 in 17 is what, like 6 or 6.5%, something like that. So 6.5% of white people have a chance of going to prison, and 33% of blacks.
My fallback on that will be every time I see the Innocence Project release somebody because they've been wrongly imprisoned, it seems like most of those people are black.
But and where, interestingly enough, that's headquartered right here in Idaho.
Yes.
Over at Boise State, it's Professor Greg Hampikian, who we've had here on this program. Yeah.
And it just seems to me like I'm seeing a lot of black people getting released after 15, 20, 25 years in prison.
They open up old cases that were, you know, kind of, you know, it was what's circumstantial evidence.
Yes.
You know, but they got convicted anyway when there was no scientific evidence.
Yep.
And they sometimes scientifically prove that you didn't have any evidence at all.
Yeah. My man Rich in Boise, he's on the line. Love talking to him. 946, we'll visit with him next on 670 KBOI.
If you plan to fly out on Southwest Airlines today, you might want to check your flight status. Tell you why, coming up at the top of the hour on 670 KBOI. Back now to David and Chris.
Thank you very much, Rick. Appreciate it. 950 now at 670 KBOI. Rich in Boise, you're on with David and Chris. How are you, sir?
Well, it's funny. You said you like talking to me, but you're too much of a coward to allow me to talk back. When I called in on Tuesday, I didn't even get a half a sentence out. You don't even know what I called about because you would not allow me to even talk.
I don't know. First of all, I don't know what you're talking about because you were on for about 3 minutes on Tuesday.
No, you were on.
You and I talked about Melania. I don't want to talk about Tuesday. What do you want to talk about today?
Oh, okay.
Because here's the thing. I can always do that. And you can't be on at all. That's the beauty of this. So I actually do like talking to you, Rich. So,
hello?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Oh, I heard a beep. I thought you cut me off.
No.
Okay, the thing about race relations, if you'd ask white people in 1958, 59, 60, what race relations were like, they would have said they're fine. White people, just like how you were saying, you think they're worse than they were since the 1960s. Race relations always get worse when the people who are being prejudiced against start to stand up.
That's very true.
As long as they keep their mouth shut, then it's fine. And that's why so many white people think the race relations are worse, because black people are starting to stand up. And the reason they're starting to stand up now is probably could be attributed to the cell phone camera as much as anything, because we're having videos of things that 10 years ago somebody would get killed and they would just, you know, the police would give their report and that would be it. So, I mean, you can't, you know, so the only people that really can tell you if race relations are getting worse are the minority that's being prejudiced against. Because as long as, you know, remember that guy from Duck Dynasty that said when he was growing up in the South, race relations were fine, the blacks were just out whistling and singing in the fields. He thought race relations were fine because blacks couldn't say anything. You know, they just had to keep their mouth shut. I knew a guy that was from Alabama, and he was a little bit racist, although he had mellowed out from what he was as a child. But he said, if you were a white man, you know, if you're a black man walking on the street and a white man was going down the sidewalk, you stepped onto the curb.
I had heard that too. That's amazing to me in this country.
And so the white people thought, well, race relations are fine as long as they know their place, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know many black people, but I've been with Hispanics and stuff, and police stopped them, they treated them different than they would me, and they treat you better if you're in a nicer car. Not really so much in Boise. And Idaho State Police aren't like that at all. And Boise Police really aren't like that. But you get into some of the smaller towns, that's true. Boise Police have just always been fine, and Idaho State Police, they're exceptional, I believe, in how they treat people.
All right. But, let me just ask you, Rich, is that all you wanted to say? Because I don't want to cut you off.
Well, that's what you generally do, though, Dave. You interrupted me before. I didn't get a sentence out. You interrupted me every time I would try to say things. You interrupted me and started throwing questions at me. I didn't get to complete the full sentence. You don't even know what I was calling about because you never would let me say it.
Here's my question. I'm asking about today. Are you done today?
Oh yes. Thank you.
Hey, I'll talk to you soon, man. Thanks for calling in. Seriously, Rich, I do like when you call in. I honestly do.
Yeah, and people get the wrong idea a lot of times. If we ask questions, that's fine. We just want to keep a dialogue going. But if once in a while we cut somebody off and they had more to say, it's usually a time consideration because we have to get a certain amount of commercials in.
Sure.
We have to go to the news at a certain time. And we can't just keep somebody on as long as they want all the time.
And we have to go to Betty in Middleton to wrap up the show.
Okay.
That's what we have to do. Betty in Middleton, you're on 670 KBOI. How are you?
Oh, thank you. Wonderful. I just wanted to say that if you want to have trouble with the police when they pull you over, just cop an attitude.
Yeah, that's no matter what color you are. That's true.
Doesn't usually go over very well, does it?
Right. And for someone that's told all their little lives that police are bad and they're out for you and everything, how can you, it'd be hard not to have an attitude.
All right, Betty, thanks for checking in. We appreciate you wrapping up the show today.
I used to work with a guy who honestly thought he was Arthur Fonzarelli from Happy Days. And so he always had an attitude no matter what was going on. But he'd get pulled over and he'd end up going to jail even if he hadn't done anything because he would lip off to everybody.
Makes no sense to me. Up next, Something to Think About with Mike Rogers, brought to you by the Boise Church of Christ. Located at 2000 North El Dorado, find more about the group at boisechurch.org, the Boise Church of Christ, where church is family. Have a great Thursday. Stay cool. We'll see you tomorrow on Open Phones Friday.
Now, Something to Think About with Mike Rogers.
From the Republican Convention in Cleveland this week, the 2016 Republican presidential race started out with 17 solid candidates. Obviously, only one of them could win. This led to some tough fighting and some hurt feelings. Now, a handful of those candidates who ran and lost have gone back on their pledge to support the Republican nominee. One of those is even the governor of Ohio, the state hosting the Republican convention. Is this sour grapes or stand on your principles? I'm going to say both, and really neither. Both because the hurt feelings and a belief that they could have done better against Hillary Clinton. And certainly, many of those candidates have different policies than Donald Trump. But neither, because this is about trying to capture the heart and soul of the party post-Trump. That's right. The political jockeying for the 2020 election has already begun. With the 2016 election 4 months out, maybe these former candidates should hold their horses. Something to think about. I'm Mike Rogers.